WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. This is Noah Bookstein with your WSLR news headlines for Tuesday, April 21st. Residents near Gainesville are being evacuated as multiple wildfires burn throughout the state. Most of Florida has been under prolonged, severe drought conditions. Sarasota County implemented a burn ban automatically after the drought index reached at least 500. During the ban, all outdoor burning without a permit is prohibited, except for cooking on barbecue grills and small pits. The National Weather Service has issued a red flag warning for counties across the state, including Sarasota County, as strong winds, low humidity, and dry vegetation are driving extreme wildfire risk. Sarasota's new city manager starts her job at the end of May, but when she begins, there won't be a deputy manager. After a 25-year career with the city, Deputy City Manager Patrick Robinson announced his retirement plans on Monday. Robinson intends to retire on May 26th, 3 days before the new city manager, Carrie Freiling, is due to start on May 29th. Among Freiling's first tasks will be to appoint a new deputy city manager. Robinson grew up in Sarasota and came to oversee various city departments, including those dedicated to public safety. As of April 20th, soda, energy drinks, candy, and ultra-processed shelf-stable prepared desserts are no longer available for purchase with food stamps in Florida. The nutrition-based restrictions come after Texas adopted similar policies in accordance with the Trump administration's Make America Healthy Again initiative. Critics are concerned that restricting shoppers' choices without providing healthy alternatives or offering public transit to grocery stores is not a complete solution. Florida's Commerce Secretary came out swinging against a new sprawling data center project. The secretary, Alex Kelly, issued a letter on Friday stating the new data center would threaten the Central Florida region's energy infrastructure, water supply, and economy. The proposed project would be built on 1,300 acres in Fort Meade in rural Polk County. According to Kelly, Stonebridge, the developer on the project, lied in its proposal to officials about the amount of water that will be required to operate the massive facility. This has been Noah Bookstein with your WSLR news headlines for Tuesday, April 21st.
For WSLR comes from listeners like you and from Manatee Spirit Holistic Sound Studio, offering sound-based wellness experiences in Bradenton. More information is available at 941-209-0069 or at info@manateespirit.com. Good morning, everybody. You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. Also streaming anywhere on WSLR.org or by downloading the free WSLR app. This is the Healthy Living Hour, airing live every other Tuesday from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. My name is Rebecca Acosta, local acupuncture physician, and I am your host. A huge thanks to my fill-in soundboard operator, station manager Jesse Coleman. Thanks, Jesse, for coming in this morning. And we hope that Neil Rubidoux is having a wonderful time in Europe with his wife. Our goal here on the Healthy Living Hour is to offer a wide variety of topics and guests to better inform and educate our community on current health and wellness issues. As a disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed by host, guests, and callers on WSLR programs are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of WSLR, its staff, or volunteers. Further, no one here is providing any type of medical diagnosis, treatment, nor advice. Everything said here is solely for general information and to foster critical thinking. We encourage you to consult your doctor for personal medical advice. Good morning, everybody. Today we're going to talk about some healthy living. We have nurse Mary Beth Newell. And Mary Beth, you are down in
Sarasota.
You're in Sarasota. Mary Beth here with us is a nationally recognized nurse, author, and speaker specializing in holistic, sustainable anti-aging for women over 40. With decades of clinical experience and a master's degree in science, she combines medical insight with real-life strategies to help women look vibrant, feel energized, and age confidently without injectables or plastic surgery. Mary Beth realized women were craving practical, evidence-informed approaches to healthy aging, and this inspired her to write her book, Anti-Aging and Secrets of Healthy Living to Stop the Clock, to teach women how to support their skin, metabolism, posture, strength, and overall vitality through simple daily habits that create visible results. Mary Beth, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Also, and we're going to talk to Cliff Aiken, and Cliff is the owner of Sarasota's Pickleball Shack, and we're going to talk about pickleball later on at the second half of the hour. So, Mary Beth, share with us, if you will, a little bit of your story, how you got, you know, why this, why here, why now?
Well, as you mentioned, I am a registered nurse. I've always been interested in health and how to preserve health. But I would say probably about 20 years ago, when my colleagues found out how old I was, they kept on saying, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And when I would share my routines, that people repeatedly would keep on saying, "You should write a book." And I think it's because the approach that I take is, if you have a very busy lifestyle, what are some practical, sustainable tips you can do to maintain your health, vitality, and appearance?
Wonderful. And let's talk about, you know, we've been told for, gosh, probably one or two decades or the better part of that, that we need to walk 10,000 steps every day. Yeah. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yes, that is fascinating. Back in the 1960s, a Japanese pedometer company had a marketing campaign to sell their pedometers that everyone needed to get their 10,000 steps a day. And I have to say, I think it's a really good marketing campaign because we still think that today. Since then, there have been research studies done to let us know what is the benefit and how many steps do you really need. So if you get about 2,500 steps, that's almost a mile for most people, your chance of dying early goes down by 8%. And cardiovascular events such as strokes and heart attacks is reduced by 11%. Now, if you get up to about 4,500 steps, which is about 2 miles, your chance of dying early goes down to 40%. So from 8 to 40%, and your risk of those cardiovascular events drops by 25%. But the real sweet spot is 9,000 steps. Not 10, okay. 9,000 steps, which is about 4 miles, your chance of dying early drops 60%, and you cut those cardiovascular events, your risk, in half.
That's significant.
Yes.
Just moving, you know, and I know, in the alternative healthcare field, I go to different seminars and courses, and I always hear like my chiropractic colleagues say, a body in motion stays in motion. And that's so important. We gotta keep moving. And I know, you know, too, talking about anti-aging, you know, they say, when you retire, like people come here to Florida to retire, and, you know, we know why, because of this great weather, but don't stop. Some people, you know, it's important not to just, you have to have a plan. Get a plan. You got a plan to do something. Keep moving. Get those steps in every day. And, you know, something so simple as walking. Mm-hmm. We're not saying you have to do an Ironman, you know, or any type of big marathon, but just simple walking.
Yeah, I try to incorporate it into my lifestyle. So even if you go to the grocery store, if you work in an office, you go to the doctor's office, pick the parking spot as far away from the office. Mm. You'll reduce your cortisol levels because people always think, I want to get that close parking spot. I want to get that close parking spot. So if you park as far away as possible, you reduce your cortisol level. You'll probably get an extra 500 steps in going in and out, and your car will not get dinged.
I was just thinking this. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Let's see. You say, I believe in your book, that water is liquid gold. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little more on that? I mean, I know we know the importance of water. I mean, there's so much to mm-hmm. it. So go, please.
Well, 80% of our cartilage is made up of water. So if you want to keep moving and try to avoid those aches and pains, mm-hmm. then we want to make sure we're taking in enough water. What water does, it plumps up the skin, you have less headaches, it maintains your temperature, and it keeps your heart working at optimal levels. The National Council on Aging says if we have a 2% less water in our system than we should have, it impacts your memory, your mood, and your response time. When people in the afternoon, like at 2, 3 o'clock, sometimes we go, I need a cup of coffee, or you think, I need some candy to wake up. Probably what you really need is a glass of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if I can just piggyback on that a bit, you know, when you feel thirsty, you're a little past that point already from what, you know, we've been taught. And also, you know, there's so much controversy over vaccines and childhood, you know, and there's this big divide on philosophy of it. But when my young parents come in and they ask me, because they don't know, you know, there's a lot of question marks around all that. But it's kind of like that saying, the solution to pollution is dilution. You know, I just say have baby be well hydrated before he gets that shot, and then it'll disperse more throughout the whole system rather than just going directly more to the brain. The brain needs water.
That's a great tip.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks. But yeah, so water is important. And I know like there's certain, I do a lot of functional blood chemistry in my clinical practice, and my teacher patient population, they're all dehydrated, mm-hmm. all of them, but they're, you know, they don't get the water. I think it's the nature of their job. They really don't get the water breaks and the bathroom breaks. So they don't drink enough because they know, you know, gosh, I got 3 more hours before I can even take a break.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about more like, you know, perimenopause, you know, women.
Oh, yes.
Who at a certain point that starts to shift and we need to, you know, run a little more.
Right. And I mean, for myself, I want to make sure I'm taking in enough water. One of the tips I have is I have a glass of water at my bedside. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I wake up, I drink a glass of water.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, before I drink the dehydrating mm-hmm. cup of coffee.
Right. And,
or even if you have half a glass, or you might not be able to handle a full glass before you eat a meal, but even half a glass, you're getting 4 ounces in, and you probably won't eat as much, because you had some water in your system. So it helps to control how much food we're eating as well.
Yeah, that's important. And I find myself saying this a lot in clinic for, you know, my women who want to lose weight, men, women who really want to work on dropping that 20 pounds or that last 10 or 15. Yeah, drink that glass of water before you start your meal. And sometimes we get like the brain response. We're really thirsty, but it's confused and we process it as hungry. We need food. So the water is hugely important. And Mary Beth, may I ask, can I ask your opinion? You know, there's so many, America, we are so just influenced and controlled by those 2 square inches on our tongue, the taste buds, you know, and so a lot of people are like, oh, it doesn't taste good, or I can't just drink plain water, you know, and they want the flavors and the sugars in it. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. There's all different kinds of water. So you could drink tap water. Some people like it cold or at room temperature. There's sparkling water. I love alkaline water. But I think people forget, especially women, if you've ever been to the spa, you can't get enough of the water, and it's because it's infused. So you can do the same thing at home. Fill up a pitcher with water, cut up some cucumbers, and you'll have your own cucumber water or lime water, or put some strawberries in there, and you're going to find that you're going to drink glass after glass after glass because it tastes so good.
Yes. Again, and if you're just joining us today, we are speaking with Mary Beth Newell, registered nurse here, and we're talking about some healthy aging tips. Thanks, Mary Beth. Here's a question. You know, you and I were talking on the phone briefly about your emphasis on the skin, and I don't know your age, but you're vibrant, you're glowing, and skincare tips that don't involve plastic surgery, Botox, or injectables?
Well, the first thing, and it's not very sexy, but make sure you're wearing your sunscreen. The UVA rays will penetrate deep and it breaks down collagen and elastin. So we want to preserve our skin structure. And then sunscreen also helps to prevent dark spots and hyperpigmentation. And it is actually the single most effective way to slow aging. So I look for moisturizers or foundations that have some sunscreen in it, but you also want to make sure that the lotions you're putting on your body have some sunscreen as well. The other thing that's kind of funny, when we were children and we were learning our vowels, A-E-I-O-U, okay, what did we do? We said it over and over again until we memorized our vowels. You can do vowel exercises as an adult and really exaggerate A, E, I, O, U, and really exaggerate it because your face is a muscle. And if you're exercising your muscle, you're going to keep it toned just like we want to keep our arms or our legs toned.
Yes, and so what are some of the alternative go-tos that maybe you like for you know, skin or fine wrinkles? You know, women don't want to be defaced, right?
Right.
So we always are trying to keep that good, you know, outward appearance. And you mentioned facial acupuncture.
Yes, I love it. I have been doing it for over 15 years, and what's so funny is it started on a spa package I had on a cruise. Oh. So I went and I thought, oh, I didn't realize it wasn't one and done. But it is an ongoing process. And because I like more of a natural approach, I have been going to the facial acupuncture like for 15 years. Now, initially, you have to go a little more often. And at this point, I go once a month. I absolutely love it, because it gives me time to relax. And sometimes it's hard to find me time, but not only do I get time to relax, it's improving or maintaining my facial appearance. And I think it helps to stabilize my energy as well.
Yeah, a lot of our acupuncture points on the face aren't just for the face. So you get these unknown but positive side effects, I'd say, side benefits from it. And, and that's so important. I know my daughter is 25, and she's putting herself through physician assistant school, and she works in a dermatology office. She was working down here and trained under with Dr. O'Donohue's dermatology office. And but they're really pushing Botox on young girl, like they're like, oh, you got to start at 21 or 22 for prevention. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a botulism. That's a toxin.
Yes, it is.
And it paralyzes. Mm-hmm. So it does the opposite of these facial exercises with your vowel, mm-hmm. Exercise. You know, you're strengthening, but the botulism paralyzes.
Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like antithetical.
Mm-hmm. And, well, I think the other thing about facial acupuncture is it maintains the natural beauty of your face. You don't look different. And I think sometimes when people rely on injectables or plastic surgery, I mean, sometimes there's almost like a clown-like look to them that I don't think they realize that is a possibility when they go and they start to have those treatments done.
Right. And I had one of my instructors and colleagues, and she travels globally. I think I interviewed her. I think it was before the holidays or just right after, Michelle Gellis. But anyway, she said that even in the young mothers, when they get the Botox injectables, it interferes with the relationship with their kids, because so much of our communication is that nonverbal
expression.
Mm-hmm. And there's no expression, and it's confusing. And I think we're going to really see a lot of problems with this mm-hmm. in years to come, mm-hmm. From that. I'm sure they'll be doing studies on it. I hope they do, because I find that problematic.
Well, there has been a study. The Journal of American Medical Association Dermatology in 2018 did a research study with middle-aged women with a variety of facial exercises, not just the bowel exercises. But what they found is it was 32 exercises over 20 weeks, which is 5 months, but they looked 3 years younger, which is pretty amazing. Just from doing facial exercises. And that's one of the things I love about the vowels. You could do it in the car. You could do it in the shower. You could do it anytime you're thinking about it. So it's easy to do, and you do see effects from it.
Yeah, thank you. That's great. And again, if you're just tuning in, we're on the Healthy Living Hour here, and we're talking with Mary Beth Newell, nurse, and we're talking about anti-aging and healthy aging. And we've got Cliff Aiken here from the Pickleball Shack, and we'll be getting to him in just a moment. And Cliff, please feel free to join in on the conversation at any time. Another thing, what I try to do on this program is give people practical tips that they can use. So if I can ask you, how can people with a busy lifestyle find time for self-care? I know, on our 9,000 steps, I have a clinic, I'm busy, but some of my work is sedentary, behind a computer charting and doing things. And then I'm in with patients, but, I'm in this smaller area space. I'm walking, but I might not be getting that much. So I know just about 2 months ago, we were invited to play pickleball at our local Y. And I'm like, wow, this is how I can really get this in. So, and we'll get to that in a minute. But how can people with a busy life find time for self-care? What are some things they can do?
Well, especially women, we tend to give of ourselves to others. And if you've ever been on an airplane and they're going through the safety demonstration, they always say, put on your oxygen mask first before you put it on, you help somebody else. And that's important. We have to understand that me time is vital to our mental health, our physical health, and just make it a top priority. Now, sometimes that's easier said than done, but even starting with 15 minutes, even if it's 15 minutes, maybe getting up earlier, or if you have a family, I know when I had two children very, very close, within 11 months, I had two children, and I was working as a nurse and taking care of the kids, and I would tell my husband, I just need 30 minutes, just 30 minutes, so that I would go for a walk, and that was my me time. But you could even do it for 15 minutes, take a quick walk, you can journal or meditate if you want, you could... Another luxury item for me is to soak in a bubble bath. Okay, so sometimes just that 15 minutes. But I think sometimes we need to lower our expectations. If you have young children and you're doing the laundry and you're used to folding everything, give it to the kids and say, fold your own clothes. Okay, if you're really particular about the tines on the forks and how they go into the dishwasher, give it up. Let somebody else do the dishes. So those are split up household chores. Okay, so everyone can have a job in the house. And as I said, make it a top priority. And if you have to choose between dusting and me time, do your me time. Because you're going to be happier, you're going to be brighter, and when people are around you, no one's going to notice the dust.
This is so true. And, you know, back on giving the kids chores, I mean, that's good for them. Mm-hmm. That's good parenting. They need to learn responsibility and how to work together as a family and how we support when we help each other, you know? And if we have it more fostering in that micro system of the family unit, they're already prepared for out there in the world to do those same things, to be helpful, yeah. To take initiative.
One other thing I think is important, and a lot of women struggle with this, is learning to say no. Mm. Okay, so somebody needs something. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And that is something that I have had to learn, because you want to be nice. You want to help other people. So what I have done, and I like this technique, if you want to say no, but you think you're going to feel guilty, say no, but also what you can do, okay? I'm sorry I can't get together with, you know, the gang on Thursday evening, because you don't want to 4 to 5 hours of being with people. But how about we get together for coffee on Saturday morning? I can't bake cookies for the bake sale, but can I give a cash donation? And that gives you more of your own me time.
It does. And you're flipping it into the positive at the end. And I like that. And, you know, I'd like to share too, talking about, you know, the put your own oxygen mask on first, carving out that me time. In Chinese medicine, or this Eastern medicine I practice, one of my mentors, you know, would tell me, Rebecca, an empty rice bowl cannot feed the village. You know, so like there truly is nothing new under the sun. It's all the simple things that in this modern fast paced barrage of a society, they're hard to implement. They're not easy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're simple, but not easy to do all the time. So, and that is, and when you do those little things and you make it a habit, then you can step on to the next task. And I think that's, you know, what you focus on too.
I like that. Making it a habit. It's not a one and done. You need to consistently focus on it and feel good when you're getting these things done. You might not get it done every single day, but I think women especially need to give ourselves grace and be kind to ourselves and understand it's a process, and any forward motion is great.
It is. And Mary Beth, we didn't talk about this previously, but, you know, speaking about women and aging, you know, the osteoporosis, bone loss, do you have any simple things that women can do to start thinking about that and how to prevent?
Well, you definitely want to make sure that you're taking in enough calcium, and calcium is absorbed with vitamin D. So that's one thing. But I do have to say, we talked about the steps, But strength training is so important. It builds. When women get to be about 40, we're starting to lose some of our bone strength.
And men, too, they just don't check for it in Western medicine. The women will get the bone scans, the men not so much.
Right, correct. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And strength training helps to improve our metabolism, not only the bone strength. It prevents cognitive decline, improves our endurance, posture, and long-term vitality. And you don't have to do that much. You know, the National Institutes of Health say 30 to 60 minutes a week. So you can break that up. You can do it. And I like to do 15 minutes a day. And of course, some days I don't get it done, but I do it 15 minutes a day. And talking about the DEX scan as far as bone health, I've had good bone health. But once I started strength training, I have to tell you, the nurse practitioner had to look at my file and look at me because she thought she was in the wrong room because my bones strengthened even more in my 60s from doing strength training. And they say I have the bones of a 25-year-old.
And that's great. And you know, what I often share in my clinical practice is, look, you know, when women are at a certain point and they've got the osteopenia or the osteoporosis diagnosis, it's like, okay, yeah, do all those things, but what can we do to prevent the fall and strengthen the whole body? So you got your bone and then you got the muscles that are around the bone. Strengthen that. You know, you got your biggest muscles, and on the legs, the upper part of the legs. And those are so important. And if you start, you know, doing the squats, the lunges, even assisted, holding onto a doorknob or something, and you're strengthening those muscles, not only the cognitive benefits of doing those, but you're getting stronger, so you prevent a fall, which in turn prevents breaks.
Correct.
Yeah. Mary Beth, thank you so much for joining us today. If people want more information, can you share? You have a book out, and if they'd like more information, how do they find you or your book, please?
Okay. Well, my book is on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and I have a website, which is www.MaryBethNewell.com. So you can get more information there as well.
Thank you, Mary Beth. And again, the book title is Anti-Aging and the Secrets of Healthy Living to Stop the Clock. Again, you're listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. And now, after getting like that macro of healthy aging, also joining us today, as I mentioned earlier, is Cliff Aiken. He is the co-owner, and I love this, Cliff, on your business card, the director of fun. What a cool job title is that, of the Pickleball Shack here in Sarasota. And Cliff, thank you so much for joining me. And as I shared, you know, I came to your store because I went to a pickleball game at the Y. And oh my gosh, I was like, what kind of cult is this these past couple years of this? What is this pickleball stuff? You know, and we played a couple of games, Roger and myself, and it is so fun. I think I drank the Kool-Aid on that, and we love it and we look forward to it. And I think it's a lot more than just the sport. But Cliff, if you would share with us a little bit about you, your background, and how you got into pickleball and to the depth of, you know, opening a store.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Rebecca. I appreciate the time. I've learned a lot already this morning. It's been great. My background, I'm actually always kind of laugh. I'm a recovering financial advisor, wealth management guy. So spent 25 years in financial planning, wealth management here in town, and decided to semi-retire, I guess you'd say, and discovered, like you, pickleball at the Y. Walked in one day, was just going for the traditional boring workout that I never seemed to enjoy and force myself to do, and looked through the window and saw people playing pickleball. Immediately, I've always loved paddle sports. I've done everything from racquetball to ping pong, all sorts of things, and saw that and just absolutely walked in the door and started and played. And from there, I found the addiction just like you. So before I knew it, I was highly addicted. I coached soccer here in town for many years. So I was always active, rode bikes, did everything else. And this, I just found my place. So started playing every day, like everybody else who gets addicted to this game. Next thing you know, I got pretty decent, and people were asking me to help them out, and decided to seek out coaching and became a certified instructor as well. And so started doing that, and then next thing you know, unfortunately, a good friend of mine had a store here in town that passed away.
Oh,
and
I'm so sorry.
For several years, people kept saying, we need a store, we need a store, we need a store. So we have one. So that's what we did. We decided to build a store, not only a store, a training center. So we actually have two courts going in the back. So we've got a full plethora of pickleball happening.
Yeah, and I came into your store. I'd seen it, you know, you're nearby. You're just right off of just a little north of Fruitville off of Lime, I believe, right.
Correct.
Across from Sunflower Discount Market,
yes.
Which we do go to, and you can find some great things there. But, went in, and you have a great program that I took advantage of. You let people try before you buy, and for a small fee, they can, you know, what are you looking for in a, it's not a racket, you corrected me, it's a paddle. We've got to get the proper lexicon here. And you can just put a deposit down, try the paddle for a couple of days, and if you don't like it, you can exchange it for another one, and until you find that perfect one for you.
Exactly, and that's what we want. Our whole goal is to just spread pickleball to the community. It's been such an amazing sport for me and for others that's a great way. You've never done it before. You can come in. We give you everything you could possibly need to go out and play. And even starting next week, we even have a place out back where we can actually demonstrate and show you. So we've got free intro to pickleball, all sorts of things, just to get people involved.
Wonderful. can you share a brief history of pickleball? I mean, I think I heard this word maybe for the first time about 10 years ago.
Yeah, believe it or not, pickleball has been around since 1965. It just kind of sat dormant, kind of very sleepy. It started out on the West Coast out in the Seattle area. And it just kind of became a little cult sport where it's being played around, and then COVID happened.
Mm.
Once COVID happened, people were looking for a way to get out, breathe fresh air, you know, not have to worry about the whole, you know, the COVID problem. And it just blew up, because especially here in Florida, you were allowed to get out. You can go outside. You could play. You could do things. It was a great way to get involved in a sport and also get out. And it definitely, well, I'm sure we have talked about it, but the pickleball community is unlike anything I've ever been involved in.
Yeah. And I think that's one of my favorite aspects about it is community. Like, you make friends and you get to know each other, and it's, you're just in this great fun environment. You're away from the political,
you're right.
You know, drama and all the stresses, and you just go there and I have met the nicest, I've just met great people.
You really do. And it's kind of a ongoing joke in the pickleball industry. If you look at any pickleball player's phone, everybody in their phone is going to be Julie Pickleball, Sam Pickleball. Everybody. So
oh my gosh,
it definitely becomes
this.
It becomes your really does becomes your world. I mean, I go to pickleball parties, birthday, everything is pick. If you're into it, like you mentioned the cult word, it is very addictive and very much, but it does, unlike any other sport I've ever seen or any other thing, unlike soccer, baseball, you know, anything that I've done, golf, no community has developed like this. I mean, seriously, you can come into town, not know a person in the world, be a retiree, a young person, whatever it is, and you will find your group.
Yep. And we have we go to the Y at a particular yoga class one day a week, and there's a 90, how old is he, Roger? Ray is 94.
I'm good friends with Ray.
You're good friends with Ray.
I am.
Okay. Anyway, we've watched him in about the last year just doing yoga, and he does pickleball. I didn't know he did pickleball. He's like, there's two others who are in their 90s that play on this particular afternoon group.
Yep, I've got to give a shout out to Alice as well. Alice is another 90-plus year old pickleball player, and I don't mind saying their age because they had a 90-plus party, so I'm not giving out any ages here. But yeah, amazing. I mean, and both of them, truly, that's one thing that's amazing about pickleball is when it first kind of took off in the second little wave with the COVID, everybody kind of looked at it as the old person's sport.
And because I was guilty of that, yes.
And it really did, because it did open up the ability of older people to come out and try a sport. A lot of them haven't played since high school. You know, they might have been a high school star or whatever, but it's really opened up. I have kids who play now that are, I mean, preschool. So preschool to 90-plus playing the game now. So it has really opened up. I mean, it's kind of a funny story. Even my son, who I first told him, I played a game. It's called pickleball. And he goes, Dad, I've never played anything called pickleball. And I said, you'd love it. He was, we played racket sports, did all that. Well, to be honest, he finally got involved, loved it. Well, he's now got a pickleball consulting company out of Tampa. He's up in New York doing consulting right now for some gyms that are open up there. He has now registered and is a member of the pro league, so he qualified and is playing pro now. So he went from, I'm never playing pickleball, to it's become his world like it is mine.
There's that saying one of my colleagues says, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans.
Yes.
but no, and you bring up what you're saying, that pickleball can be really for all ages. Just a few weeks ago, we were playing, and another gal and I, two kids came up to us, George, who's 12, and his cousin or his friend, and they're like, hey, would you like to play with us? And we're like, sure. And Cliff, we got pickled.
Yes.
There's a term. That means we didn't score. They beat us, these two 12-year-olds.
Yes, not a score. Yeah, not a point scored. So it happens. It's a very humbling sport. I mean, you can go out and get Ray and Alice on the other side of you who are in their 90s, and you'll take a loss. I mean, same thing. Yeah. Like you say, you can have 5-year-olds on there that's the beauty of the sport. That's what I love so much about it.
And I love that. Like, where can you get these activities that aren't around a dining table that you have, like, 5-year-olds to 80, 90-year-olds that can play together?
Yes. And like you say, I mean, there's just so much to it. And kind of going back, talking about the benefits as well, the cognitive benefits, the physical benefits. It's kind of funny. Mary Beth was talking about the 9,000 steps. Well, it just happens to be the average pickleball match lasts about 2 to 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I know it sounds like a lot, but you're coming off, you're coming on, you're playing with different people, but you're out there 2 to 3 hours. Well, actually, it's ironic in that 2 to 3 hours is about 9,000 steps.
Wow.
So it takes a little longer than the 15 minutes, of getting out and doing something, but it is a great way to get out and do it. And like I said, kind of talking about the physical part, the thing that I really advise people on is just be careful. It's the first sport you've probably played in between 25 and 50 years, and people have to understand that you got to come out on the court. You've got to warm up. You've got to do things. So that's something that's very important, the stretching, the warming up, the hydrating, the things that you don't remember since you were in soccer practice back in high school that your coach was telling you is things that you've got to do. Also practice, stretch, warm up. Don't just come out and think that, you can walk out and play 2 to 3 hours and not either hurt yourself or, injure yourself.
Yeah, and I know for me, like, I can't afford to take a fall or break something. I can't be out for that long. So I'm really like, I love this game, but I'm not willing to dive for a ball. I'm not
true.
I'm not diving.
Yeah.
And two, what I noticed too is there can be a tendency to want to, like, run backwards to try to get that hit. Mm. And that's where I see a lot of,
right,
or some more of the falls. So just
do.
Be cautious with that.
Yeah, you do. And you've got to be, we always talk about the proper equipment, but if you think about it, running shoes are made for going forward.
Mm.
They're not made for going back. They're not made for going sideways.
Good
They're made
point.
For going forward. I mean, the pickleball shoes are honestly built with a sideways last, so you have that sidestep availability. It's got a lower platform, so when you do step backwards, I mean, literally, you don't realize it, but on your running shoes, it's like a little bit of a high heel shoe. So if you run backwards, it's sitting, it's like running backwards in high heels. You're going to catch and you're going to fall.
That's a good
point. The pickleball
shoes
have a flat back. We still teach you in our trainings how to actually turn and run backwards versus just trying to run back. But the proper equipment definitely helps between the shoes, the right paddle. It's a big benefit in the game.
Yeah. And I didn't know they had special shoes for this. Okay. Very good. And you know, to everybody out there, again, if you're tuning in, we're talking to Cliff Aiken, owner and director of fun at the Pickleball Shack in Sarasota here. And, I just want to do a shout out, if I may, quickly. Last week we participated in the Area's Giving Challenge, and because WSLR is listener supported and community supported. And, thank you to everybody who pitched in, who stepped up, who made a pledge, gave some money, and, it keeps our radio on air. And, cause we're volunteer driven. I'm a volunteer, and it's so, encouraging when, cause sometimes I'm like, oh, is anybody out there listening? You know, and so just thank you for your support and huge generosity to supporting this. This is, you're going to hear things on WSLR that you really don't hear on other airwaves. So, and I think that's the beauty of that. You know, Cliff, you mentioned about, we talked about the 9,000 steps and pickleball. I think another added benefit that doesn't get enough attention, is, you know, and for bone and strengthening is that jumping. When we're kids, we're jumping rope, we're jumping onto things. And then we just stop doing that. And I noticed, wow, I just kind of can't leave the ground like I used to be able to. And in pickleball, you get that impact almost like that plyometrics. Is that what they call it, Mary Beth? And
right.
I think that's important for bone building, muscle building, joint strengthening as well.
Absolutely. And to just make sure you're playing off the right muscles and things like that. I always talk about, you know, what's called dinking is when you're up by the net and it's when it turns into a short game. If your quads aren't burning after drilling with dinking, you're not doing it right. You're standing up too tall. You're not playing it off your muscles. You're playing it off your bones. So there's little tips and things like that to really improve your game and make sure you do stay healthy because, I mean, if you look at it, there is a lot of injuries in pickleball. And that's usually typically for people, like we said, not hydrating correctly, not stretching properly, not warming up, not doing the things that you would normally do if you were going to play something this athletic for the first time or even on a regular basis. So that's what's so important.
That is important. And Cliff, do you have any, say somebody who's a little chronologically advanced comes into your store and is like, hey, I've seen this. I don't know where do people begin?
Yeah, absolutely.
If they're a little less active, but they really want to make that change.
I mean, it's simply, you can see even down here, we've got a great, that's one thing that's so amazing about pickleball is there's free places to play everywhere. So all the public parks, everything else, and they even have them divided out. Mm-hmm. So when you go up to the court, it says beginner, it says intermediate, it says advanced. Just to make it so nice to, you can literally walk in for the first time with your brand new paddle in your hand, a brand new ball, and get out there and somebody's going to play with you. So that's the big thing is you can come in at any level. So it doesn't, and it's not divided by ages. It's all based on your skill. So you can show up anywhere and play. The technology has really changed within the pickleball industry. I won't get into the weeds on that, but so many of the paddles now are designed to soften that impact, to do things like that so you don't get what used to be, or still is called tennis elbow,
right,
things of that nature. So there's a lot of ways that we can set you up to prevent things and to teach you the proper way to start.
And I think you shared your shop is going to start offering classes?
We do. We did when we first opened up. We had one little court in the back. It was kind of on some broken concrete. I've had all that removed. I'm actually putting in two professional courts back there with lights, with everything. So we will be a full training center. There'll be everything there from early morning if you just want to, before you're going to work or before you're going to play pickleball even, you can come by and practice. So we'll be open just to the general public just to come in. No charge, no anything. Just meet, dink, drive, drill, whatever it is you're wanting to do. We'll have that open. And then we're going to have structure classes as well. They're all divided out by your level. It's everything, like I said, from intro to pickleball, never done it before. Come on out. We teach you everything you need to know, all the way up to advanced levels. Like I said, I've got my son who's a pro. Many of his friends are pro. We've got a great community. There are more pro pickleballers in the state of Florida than anywhere else.
No kidding.
And even up, I'll give a shout out to my friends up at Dill Dinkers. They do an amazing job with the young kids and getting young pros in there. So if you ever want to see some great matches, go out to Dill Dinkers. And soon, come out to the pickleball shack. We'll have them out
there.
Where
is this Dill Dinkers? Is this local?
It's out by the airport. It's an indoor facility. There's indoor facilities for, that's where I am when it gets too hot. You won't see me on the court anymore.
Oh, me too.
So I'm out inside playing there. They keep air conditioning, outdoor courts, but are all inside in a warehouse. A great facility. So again, there's ways to beat the heat. That's one thing I'll say in Florida. Be very, very careful. We're coming into the season where it's extremely warm. Stay hydrated. If you can, get indoors when it's during the heat.
Get indoors. And Cliff, can you share personal experience? Like, what have you noticed in your health and wellness, if I may, in playing the sport?
Yeah. It's totally kept me at the level I was before. It's given me something, because like I mentioned, I'm so bored at the gym. I just can't force myself to do that. I need that. I like the interaction. I like the competition. I've always been competitive. I played competitive soccer in college. It just fills that need for that competition. But the community, like I said, that it's really helped me in developing that, developing all my friends. Everywhere I go, everywhere I know, is usually tied into pickleball nowadays. So,
yeah, and what I love about that, you know, I think our first couple of times going, you know, I went in and I'm like, okay, it's going to be like elementary school in gym class where two people get to pick their team, and, you know, the poor athletes, the good ones get picked first, and then, you know, you're the last people standing, and it's like, oh, I don't know if I want to put myself through that, you know?
Yeah, and luckily with the paddle system and things like that nowadays, you don't have to worry about it. It's not, it can be clicky like anything else because you can show up with your group and not want to play with others, but that's usually not the sport. And it's not picking on the weaker player either. It's getting better and better. Once you get into a tournament, all those go away. But when you're talking about recreational pickleball, it should always be about fun.
It sounds like it's very supportive.
Very supportive. We've never experienced that aspect that I went in with my own, you know, pre-thinking of, oh, it could be this way, and oh boy. But yeah, it's very supportive, and people, everybody, because I think they love being there.
They do. They do, and they love sharing. Like I said, that's kind of how I got into coaching. Before I knew it, I was just sharing with people, oh, if you do this, try this, try this. And next thing I know, I had so many people coming to me about that I got the actual training and certification to make sure I was doing it the right way.
Yeah, and we do. We notice this every time we go, that somebody's willing to share a little tip or tidbit to help you improve, to assist you to improve.
Absolutely.
With the increasing popularity of it, I'm just wondering, are they considering it as an Olympic sport?
Actually, they are, and we've got a local person here in town that's on the national committee for the Olympics to get pickleball into the Olympics. So Olivia, shout out to Olivia, again,
wow,
another person
from
the other Y. She's always out there and a great friend of the store as well. But yeah, she is on the committee to push that through. I mean, it's working its way, and that's what has to happen. It's in the grade schools, and any grade schools out there that need anything, let me know. We would be happy to help participate, provide you things that you may need, nets, balls, things of that nature, or even training, for the kids' age, going all the way through. But what we're seeing is it's in the schools. Once it does that, it's now got into the high schools, and it's even starting into the college. As soon as it does that and it becomes a D1 sport, then that's, you know, the money follows, you know, once the popularity is there, the money follows. So that's what's driving it now to, I mean, my son was playing for his college team. But they're all, like I said, there's pro, there's an amateur league here in the state of Florida. There are all sorts of opportunities. It's amazing. I mean, people think it's just pickleball, but Anna Lee Waters, the number one player in female in pickleball, she's 19 now. She just signed about a $5 million deal with a clothing provider and another $5 million deal for a paddle sponsor. So there's huge money in this sport as well.
And there's some just career opportunities.
There are.
Yeah.
There are. It's not just a recreational sidewalk game. It's a professional sport.
Oh, that's great. You know, I have a question. I'm just curious. Are they doing pickleball in like summer youth camps? Are these youth camps?
Yeah, that's something. I used to be the director of pickleball for a club that was around that's no longer. And that's one thing that I absolutely loved. I think I mentioned it. I coached soccer here locally for about 17 years. As my son went all the way through travel ball. I played soccer in college and that was my world growing up. But to have the different sports and the different things that we can get people involved with is key. So.
Yeah. What else? Is there anything else you'd like to share about pickleball, the sport, things to be mindful of?
I would just say, you know, follow the crowd. There's a reason this is the number one growing sport in America, in the world. I mean, if you look at what's going on in Asia, around the world, everywhere, it is huge. And the reason is because, honestly, anybody can play this sport. Maybe not at the same level as someone else, but you never have to come off the beginner courts, and you will love the sport forever. So I'm just saying, if anybody come try it. We'd love to show you. Come on out to the Pickleball Shack. Like I said, we're starting our sessions up. We'll have free intro to pickleball. It's all people just like yourself, never even put a paddle in their hand, and can come out and play. And by the time you're done, you'll have a new group of friends that are already setting up times to go play.
No, that's great. And Cliff, do you have any health tips that you use in your own life?
I mean, two of the things that we talked about today are huge for me. Number one, hydrate. I don't hydrate enough. I keep picking up my water bottle that's down below my desk here instead of the coffee that's sitting next to it because I know it's better. But that's one thing that's really important to me is I don't think I do near enough. And the second part is the proper stretching before playing. You're going to see it. You can go out to these public courts. You're going to see people come straight out of their car, walk onto the court, think what they call dink for about a minute, which is hit the ball back and forth over the net, which they might not even do during the game. And then they think they're done. That's how you're going to get yourself hurt and get yourself injured. There's all sorts of ways, kind of what a pre-workout stretching. And then once we get your muscles warmed up, how to truly stretch them out. So that's so important because that will, again, you see it all the time. People will come out, they go too hard, and then next thing they know, they're back out of the game. So work your way in, do it the right way, learn the right way, because we talked about cognitive health. I mean, if anybody's played pickleball, just to keep score in pickleball is a cognitive little exercise there.
It is.
There's three numbers, and everybody's like, why is there three numbers? So, you know, there's a whole thing involved there. It's the funniest thing when you're out on the court. Everybody's like, what score? Looking at each other. So trying to keep that in itself is a good cognitive exercise as well.
Yes. I know it took me about 2 months of playing weekly or twice a week, and I'm like, What number am I? Am I one or two? And why does this keep changing? And then somebody explained, the light bulb went off. I understand. Yes. So
and,
it made
and
it
if
easier.
If you come back to our intro to pickleball, I'll teach you the secret to where you'll always know the score and you'll always know which side you should be on.
You know, and too, like, one of the best preventions for the scary stuff to me, diagnoses, Alzheimer's, dementia, and that is learn something new. Keep learning. you know, keep those brains. And I think, too, a great part of pickleball is, you know, crossing the center line with your arm or leg. You're crossing, and that just helps wire all that neuroplasticity and wire the brain and solidify those neurons. Cliff, thank you so much. Mary Beth as well. Thank you both for being here today and talking about these things. Cliff, if people want more information for the Pickleball Shack, how do they find you?
Yeah, as I mentioned and you mentioned, we're at 255 North Lime, which is just off Fruitville, real close to downtown. On the opposite side from the market, great market, by the way, I go there all the time. We're on the left, freestanding building. You can't miss us. We're right there on the left. You'll see our facility. And as of, like I said, this week, literally I dropped by before I came over and they're spreading my courts right now. So as of this Saturday, I'd love to invite everybody out. We're doing just a free open house on Saturday. We'll have demo paddles. We'll be cooking food, having all sorts of, just a fun time. So if you're not doing anything, come by and hang out with us on Saturday.
On Saturday. Great. Thank you so much, Cliff. Thank you, Mary Beth. Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. And please join us next week where we have Julie and Jono on Our Changing Environment at this time. In the meantime, please take good care of yourselves and stay tuned for Amy Goodman and Democracy Now!